Are we rolling?
I believe we are rolling.
I'm not so sure.
Are you referring to the incident?
No, not really.
there was sort of.
Okay, yeah. No, really.
There was an incident, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, it's been 6 years between incidents. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to be pleased with that.
Hello and welcome to episode 345 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
Quite possibly.
Yep, I'm here.
With me. Yep. Are you here?
I'm here. By there, I mean here.
Right. But we've already done this show once, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we did a full run through, you know,
a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the best episode ever or worst. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to capture that lightning in a bottle.
Yeah,
we got the first time through.
Yeah,
yeah, I've been there, man. Like, I remember working on a behind the scenes of a movie many years ago, and. I probably told this story 6 years ago when this happened the last time.
Probably. I don't remember. It doesn't...
For those listening at home, at least to my side of the conversation, we record... The reason we sound like we're in the same room, yet we're on different continents, is that I record my audio locally.
Right.
Adam records his audio locally, and then we marry them together. That way, I'm not recording his voice over the internet, which gets compressed. Make sense?
Yeah.
To you, it does, because you're actually doing it. But but just to make sure everyone else understands, there's no internet compression on our voices, except for the final product that I put, you know, onto MP3 and then fire out there. But so what ends up happening is I record, Adam records, and as has happened again, not for 6 years. Adam's side didn't record for whatever reason.
Right.
And so we did my half of the show, and then with nothing, like just me waiting for Adam to respond essentially. And we should just publish that.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. I'm like, just publish that. It would be interesting, cuz before I've played back my side and it's definitely amusing to listen to just one side of a conversation.
Right.
I never lasted more than about, I don't know, 48 seconds, though.
Sure. In the editing process, sometimes I have to do that, and it is very, very odd.
Yeah.
I was rather than redo the whole episode like we are doing now, I was considering just sending you my file and let you just play it back and then record your voice as you interact with that file and see if you can feather your words in.
And when you start talking, just quickly shut down.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that would probably sound as if you're reading the Chinese translation of how to use your coffee maker or whatever.
Right.
Whatever those when stuff is translated into multiple languages back and forth. That's what it sounded like.
Okay.
All right. So we're not doing that.
Right.
No. But anyway, so I think I told this story before, is I was working on the behind the scenes, like the DVD package thing for this movie in Vancouver, and they were doing some sort of like a process shot, meaning they had shot the night, but we'd shot the night before out at Golden Years Park, and a night shot, a big car chase scene.
Okay.
And that was it. We're done shooting nights. We're done with the car. Well, we had the car for one more day, but we weren't at night anymore. And so what they needed an insert shot, like just a close-up shot of the speedometer. And so, except for now, it was the crack of noon, and it wasn't going to match. So basically, they had to put a giant tent over top of this car and then have it run, have the speedometer go. Well, the speedometer doesn't go if the back wheels don't go. right?
Right.
Did you just hear that? Never mind. Anyways, so not, on top of that, they had to jack the back of the car up in the parking lot and then just have someone drive the car with the camera crew in it just on the spot. And the speedometer had to read like 100 miles an hour. And so it's just a lot of you know, balls in the air and a certain element of danger, because if that thing comes off the jacks at 100 miles an hour in the parking lot with a camera crew in it, you can imagine where that's going.
Right.
And so the director is explaining this all to me, and he's just like, I have it all lined up nice. The car and the tent are in the background, and he's explaining to me all the ins and outs and the what have yous and what's going on for the good folks at home. And, you know, after 4.5 minutes of this explanation, I looked down and realized I had not hit record. And I thought, oh, no. Like, I'm just going to look like what an a-hole I look like.
Right.
You know, and so basically, and so I can't use any of this. And the director, meanwhile, he's in the middle of directing a movie. It's kind of a busy guy. It's not like he just has, you know, 20 minutes in the middle of the day to go grab some tea. It's kind of a go-go-go situation.
Right.
But he's taken 4.5 minutes out of his day to explain to just me and only me about this whole thing. So I, at the very end, I just say, oh, man, like, yeah, there's somebody in the background. We can't use this. Can you do it again?
And what did he say?
He sighed and then did it again and gave me the 40-second version.
Right.
Which never, ever made it into the final product. That's the kicker, is that it got cut from the on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. Had it been the original version, it would have been in there for sure.
Negative.
You changed movie history.
It would not have been in there. It would not have made it anyways. So there's that. Point being, I've been there, man.
It happens.
I
know what it's like. It happens to the best of us.
Amazon.
Yeah.
That's where we are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got through the intro. Amazon, if you want to buy those kind of movies with the DVD extras, I don't know if you still can. I'm sure you can.
Sure, they're Blu-rays now.
And they still do the behind the scenes and the director's commentary?
Probably. I don't know. I never buy any Blu-rays.
Me neither. I don't have a Blu-ray anything.
Well, now they've got to Blu-ray 4K, you know, I don't know, XYZ.
Okay. I stopped with the I feel like streaming won, I thought.
Yeah, it does still exist. Streaming, I think, for the most part wins, but I think because of the whole 4K thing and streaming and, you know, just it's a lot more bandwidth. So I still believe that you can buy Blu-rays and they are in 4K and there's 4K Blu-ray players.
I'm waiting for a 5K Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm going to need it in a green ray. Like the Blu-ray, Blu-ray's fine, but if I can't see, I don't know, what are the popular movies?
I don't know.
The Godfather series?
Sure.
No. I assume it's the. It's got to be the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to go ahead and guess.
Sure.
If I can't see that in 8K, I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, it's not even, it's just a complete waste. Yeah.
Just to add to your Amazon bit and in our conversation is that I noticed that Amazon Prime in Canada now, you can stream, not only can you stream like, again, basically all kinds of TV and movie programming, but they, the Amazon Prime account holders have a whole section of 4K. So if people are into that, yeah. And Netflix has it now too, but in Netflix you have to have the premium membership. So the standard, whatever, cheap membership does not offer you the 4K content, whereas Amazon, it's all included in your Amazon Prime. So there you go for those Amazon users. If you didn't know that, you just learned something.
Have you watched anything on the Amazon Prime?
I tried like some Giovanni Ribisi TV show for about, I don't know, 2 episodes where he's.
Did you like it or
Sneaky
not?
Pete.
My wife didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't really like it either. It was okay, but I haven't gotten into it enough. But it's the one that directed by Adam Carolla's buddy there. That's been all the movies, the Breaking Bad guy.
Oh, right, right. He's one of the producers.
I think he's I think he's even more involved than that.
Yep, he's a star of it. God, I don't know what he is. I like the show, but my wife finds it too sneaky, ironically.
There you go.
She doesn't like this. She doesn't like the sneaking around. It makes her nervous.
Okay.
And so we can't. There's certain things we can't watch because of that, and that's one of them. The other one is the Stranger Things.
Oh, I haven't. Doesn't like it. I haven't watched it. Yeah,
I'm the other guy. I haven't seen it either. But I've seen one episode, and that was that. She couldn't handle it.
Okay.
And it's not like I have tons of time away from that to just screen stuff. You know, I have four to 5 hours a day that I have scheduled for TV watching.
Right.
Yeah. So speaking of Amazon Prime though, and Corolla, you can see the 24-Hour War is on Amazon Prime.
Yes, I have it in my queue. I'm going to get to that one.
Just skip to the end and you can see my name in the credits. That's
okay.
The best part.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch the.
That's
credits.
What most people see. Check it out for.
Okay.
Hey, who was the auxiliary cameraman in the Italy segments? Oh, it was him. I thought I recognized his work. Yeah, it's pretty. The sections in the movie that you really can see my influence on them.
Okay.
Yeah, not at all, not in the least. All right, but in terms of Amazon, I haven't bought anything this week.
I didn't buy anything.
What we spoke about last week, the printer I bought. I'm just going around the house, just looking for an excuse to print stuff.
Okay.
I love this thing. I just love it. My daughter is tired of coloring now. Daddy, my fingers hurt. Stop
no
it.
No more unicorns.
It's funny. We haven't. That's the one thing we haven't done yet, and I keep threatening to get unicorns. No, it's a lot of rainbows, a lot of butterflies.
Yep.
Yeah, but unicorns probably tonight. Okay. We're saving it for tonight.
Maybe a unicorn jumping over a rainbow.
One can dare to dream, you know? So there's that. But point being, please click through our site and help us out.
Okay.
All right. In the category of what's going... Oh, first of all, before we go any further, let me just say that it is summer holidays.
Okay.
And that means it's our annual short episode run.
Great.
The next three or so episodes are going to be slightly shorter and hopefully half as long because just the holiday schedule, but we're going to keep doing new shows. Essentially, we're going to gang record a few just to have them in the pipeline starting today.
Okay.
So when you get to the end at 30 minutes, when it just abruptly ends, you'll know why. It's not your internet.
It's basically, think of it as the next three episodes is one long session that we're going to break off into bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, you can think of it that way, but that's not really what's going to happen.
Okay.
Right. All right, so in the what's going on department, I'm going to go ahead and answer my own question and say I got an answer about Roger's fireworks photo from last week.
Okay, so let's just agree that I'm right. Am I right?
You're not wrong.
Okay, that makes me
right.
You
are right. In terms of the actual parameters of what we spoke about last week.
Over under.
I had to go back and listen because
7
I forgot
o'clock.
What I said. Yeah, no, I understand. We did this yesterday, but let's pretend like we didn't already do this.
Okay, so you said...
Let's suspend the disbelief
okay,
for the audience.
So you said, again...
You looked at Roger's
photo.
Fireworks photo, and you said it started with you.
Okay,
you said, "Oh man, that is 100% no honk guarantee. That is blue hour."
That is not what I said.
You said if that is not blue hour, you can have my 6D. That's what you said.
What I said was,
"Listen back. Listen back."
It was later than what you said. You were basically thinking that it was somewhere around between 15 minutes before or after 7, right? 6:45 to 7:15.
Yeah, okay. No, here's let me break it down. Now, I didn't listen back to the whole part of
no,
it.
No, you didn't listen
back
at
just
all.
To this. I did listen to the part where I specified a time because I forgot what time I said.
Right.
I knew it wasn't like 12:30 in the afternoon. I knew I didn't say that.
Right.
But you had said, now you opened the door by saying, hey, this looks like Blue Hour to me because the light is coming off the fireworks. And I said, actually, to me it looks much earlier because of the balance. I'm going to go ahead and say, not having never been to the Washington, D.C. area.
Right.
Which is on a is further south. It's a more southerly latitude than Vancouver or Tübingen, which are both relatively close. Vancouver and Tübingen are pretty much, I think you're on the 49th, we're on the 50th parallel.
And nobody cares.
No, but everybody cares. Because the point being, in this context, that means sunset is generally at the same time for Tübingen and Vancouver.
Okay.
However, when you go further south, like for instance in Washington, D.C., it or Virginia, where this was taken, it is much earlier. So I had to guess that on July 4th, you know, what's the sunset? I didn't know, didn't Google anything. And so I just guessed that I thought that photo was taken at around 7 p.m., give or take 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your Blue Hour assessment. Now, I was off. We got the actual answer. The answer was 7:58 p.m.
Yeah, which made you off.
Way off.
If we think about it in terms of like, if it was 10 o'clock, I mean, it was clearly not 10 o'clock. So really, we're looking at, okay, could this photo at the absolute earliest time of day, unless there was some wizardry done in terms of Photoshop, this had to be taken somewhere between the hours of...
7:57 and 7:59.
No, probably realistically between 7 and 9, right? Like that would have been the window of possible time, right? It couldn't have been earlier than 7.
I will concede that. I will stipulate.
Okay, so it landed at 8, so therefore in terms of the window of what it possibly could have been, you were way off.
In that respect, yes. I'm not claiming victory here.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is you prices righted me.
Okay.
You went $1. Because you said Blue Hour, which is not even close. I mean time-wise, in terms of actually like on the clock, in that respect, you were actually closer. You were 39 minutes away.
Right.
Whereas from 45 minutes away. So I was 43 minutes, you were 39. However, in terms of those actual minutes, very little changes between mine and the actual time versus yours and Blue Hour.
Okay, so you're saying you're right.
No. No.
See,
I'm just taking everybody who's listening, I'm taking your time,
right,
and wasting it.
Yeah.
So, but I Googled it because my point being is that I Googled the sunset in that area on July 4th this year, and that was 8:37. So blue hour, what would that make Blue Hour? 8:45 on?
Sure.
Yeah. So I think really it is basically right in between what we both said.
Okay.
Now you are correct. You took the $1. You're good.
Took the over on 7. I knew it was later than what you were claiming.
Do a victory lap.
I just
did.
Do your
victory lap.
I just did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the listeners know that you're fully vindicated. Yeah. There you go. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge is the Great Outdoors. If you take your photo, put it on Instagram, and hashtag it #2hosersmonthlychallenge, we'll get to it.
Awesome.
And we're going
to
like it.
We're trying to break our record.
We will like it. Now, what I would do if I was you, because I'm kind of a jerk, is I would take the worst possible photo, just a dog's breakfast of a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And hashtag it #2hosersmonthlychallenge and just dare us to like it.
And you will.
Oh, we will. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I probably won't.
And we will find something positive to say about it.
Again,
so that's unlikely
that I will.
That's true. That's the challenge this week. It's just essentially troll us to see how polite of Canadians we actually are.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did. I shot a bunch of interesting stuff up in Kelowna. We were visiting a friend's place, or essentially a friend's parents' place, but our friends were there as well. And yeah, it was...
Were the parents there too?
Yeah, the parents were there as well. They kind of have a pretty big place, as you'll see in photos that unravel over the course of the next few weeks' episodes. Yeah, they have quite a large place, both a large house and sort of a little guest house. And
Hang on. So is this their main residence?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was their summer home.
No, this is their main residence.
And if your summer home has a guest house, you are the man.
Yeah.
Or the woman.
Yeah. No, it's pretty amazing place, but they have sort of everything that you would love to do outside if you are me. Let's put it that way. They have basically an outdoor putting green, like a real deal putting green with three different holes and all kinds of slope. They have an apple orchard. They have a swimming pool. They have a zip line that the owner of the house, he just recently finished for his grandkids, because they're coming to stay for a few weeks in the summer. And so he just finished a zip line that is awesome. Like, again, we're not talking
Does it
like
go into the pool.
It goes, no, that would be even greater, but it goes from sort of a treehouse just kind of down along the property, and it's super awesome. So there's just endless things to do, and a huge back sort of lawn for the kids to play and explore. And so bocce, and you know, that ladder ball game, and a giant soccer ball that's bigger than the kids that they kicked around. Like, they had tons and tons of outdoor fun. So it's nice to just, you know, again, be so involved in fun outside, and nobody's asking to go inside and either watch TV or play a video. We actually a couple of times, because it's very warm, and because of the forest fires that we've talked about, you get, you know, gusts of hazy smoke, some days worse than others, but you have to basically force the children in a place like this to go inside, and you get them out of the heat and the sun for half an hour by bribing them to go watch a show, because all they want to do is swim and play outside. And so that's something that's awesome when you have that many different fun options for kids and for adults.
So you went to the 1970s, it sounds like.
Oh, it seemed like it. I want to be here. I want to live here. I want to just, you know, basically live in the guest house. Would be, again, something that I would aspire to.
And how would the owner feel about that?
Good question. I think
free physio, though.
Yeah, so there's that, and probably a lots of photos. Like, that's kind of how I repaid my visit, is that my wife is super friendly and gracious and helpful, and then there's me. And I will, you know, again,
I'm not taking my shoes off in the house.
I will reward them with great family photos. So we did like a little family photo session for them. And so I'll have some good photos for, you know, a couple of the grandparents, the grandkids, and then some different family shots and stuff. So, and even they had this really kind of older dog that I just loved. Like, it was a big black lab, and even wanted to make sure I got a few pictures of the dog for them, because I think they'll like that.
So can we live up there? I mean, not in the guest house, of course.
Yeah, it would be pretty awesome. I'm hoping I get the invite.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. There's other places around there like you could buy.
Right.
Is it expensive?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because the area you're speaking about, it's about, what is it, like 350 kilometers inland? How far is Kelowna from Vancouver?
Yeah, that's probably not a bad guess. Something like that.
All I know is it's realistically in the day. It's more now, despite what people say. It's a 4-hour drive minimum if you drive it at midnight.
Yeah, it's 4 hours from Vancouver for sure. 4 hours.
But
it's,
ironically, this is the thing: is that drive from Vancouver to Kelowna, or if you, you know, go even further to Vernon, that drive became sort of your measure as a human being, like how fast you could make that drive. And so you'll hear people say, "Oh yeah, Kelowna, oh yeah, did it in 2.5 hours." No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Like you'll I don't know if you hear that in conversation anymore, but it became basically the barometer of you as a human being.
And I think I'm maybe past that point because I'm an old man, so the bar's a little lower. I think you're probably recalling a time where guys in their 20s, you know, have to talk that way. But now I'm pretty universally, I think, again, if you're over the age of 35, you're going to say it's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah, there's nothing in it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the police just sit on that Highway 97. Yeah. And just that's how they pay for the apple orchards. It's just handing out tickets.
I got so mad because on the day we drove up, it was basically every spot that there was a construction zone. Mm-hmm. There was absolutely no construction going on. It was a Saturday and we drove it up, and the three construction zones we passed where there's cones on the side of the road, the lanes are both open. But it says, you know, when people are actually doing work and construction, it is technically a construction zone. So the speed limit goes from 120 down to either 60, 70, or 50. It just depended on which one.
Right.
And there's maybe a 500 meter to a kilometer stretch where you're in the construction zone. Again, zero construction being done, and the cops set up in each one of those spots. So I just go off when I see that. Like, I get so mad in that is just so ridiculous. It's just, hey, let's see how many tickets we can write in the next, you know, 14 hours.
Good for them.
Yeah, they win.
Good job, horsemen.
Yeah, they win.
Yeah. All right. So photo-wise,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the lake on the next episode.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about the lake.
No, we do need to talk about not the second one. I want to hear more about the lake.
Yeah, because Kelowna, we didn't even mention that there is a lake, but there is a fantastic Okanagan Lake that sits close to Kelowna. And so we did make a trip to the beach one day. We didn't spend all our time just at the pool, but we did make one morning trip out to the lake. So I'll talk about that on one of the next couple of episodes.
I look forward to hearing that.
All right.
Because you shot, I mean, just as a teaser, you were there for what, 2-3 days?
We got there sort of Saturday afternoon and then left Monday afternoon. So we were there for whatever that is. Two full...
So 48 hours.
Two full days, yeah.
I'm going to say 48 hours.
Sure.
Did you shoot a lot of photos?
Yes.
A lot of different kinds of photos.
All kinds of photos.
Oh, boy. This is going to be... This episode, it's fine. Next one's going to be great.
I haven't even had a chance to go through the photos yet, but I'm going to guess, because I had two camera bodies,
mm-hmm.
the 5D Classic with a 50mm lens on that, and then I brought the 6D with an 85mm, and that's it. I didn't bring any other cameras or lenses, just those two bodies, each with a lens. And I'm going to guess between the two cameras, I'm going to say 500 photos.
Wow.
So almost
that's
like
a lot
wedding.
For 40, yeah. Which I also shot. While you were doing that, I was shooting a wedding and shot, I shot more photos. But it wasn't a competition, actually.
Yeah. And I didn't want to shoot 500, but there was different things to shoot and a lot of small children. And so a lot of... you know, challenge as far as getting cooperation, in which case there was a few situations of spray and pray and knowing that I was going to get something, but didn't know if it was going to be on the first shot or the 20th shot. And so there's a few sequences like that, which I know when I go through it, I'm really only looking for one photo.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. So we'll hear more about that. Looking forward to hearing about that experience. Photo challenge for this week was deep focus.
Right.
Now, that was based on the fact that I was relatively unhappy with my photo last week. You were way more, I would say relatively, you were way more unhappy with my photo. You gave it a big thumbs down, despite the fact that, you know, people seem to like it online.
Right.
So either you're wrong or you're just calling them jerks. I'm not sure which that is. Maybe you're calling them jerks.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's assume that.
Yeah.
Email your thoughts directly to Adam.
Okay.
But the one aspect of my photo that I was really unhappy with was the depth of field. I thought it was too shallow. I would have liked to include a little more of the background in because it was a very nice background And oftentimes we find ourselves when we're shooting that it's just that, you know, there's a lot of elements in the background that we want to get rid of. And so that means shooting in tight or blurring it so you don't need to necessarily need to see that. Well, I wanted to include it, and I just didn't get there. I thought F8 was going to be enough, and it just wasn't enough. And thus, I said, well, this week, let's do deep focus. And so with that, let's have a look at your golf green.
Yes, so this is the backyard, or a very small portion of the backyard at our friend's place. So this green is quite large, and so I just, for the sake of, you know, it not confusing people, I didn't want to have three flags sitting on that green, so I just basically composed it to include one of the flags, so it just looks like any golf green that sits right next to an apple orchard. Mm-hmm. So that's it. I mean, I set it up in a way because I normally don't shoot this photo at all, but my instinct when shooting it would be to really, you know, have a shallow depth of field and probably blur the foreground grass right out, and then again see the trees all kind of go out of focus, and the focus be basically a very small area around the pin, and a small area in the around the pin with the golf green. And so I thought, nope, this is an opportunity to do it differently. And then I basically shot it on an F22. This is pretty much first thing in the morning. I get up maybe, I don't know, 7:30, something like that in the morning.
I'm not guessing the time. I learned my lesson.
Okay. So it's that. And then I, as a result, to shoot on F22, and this is the 85 mil lens. So I backed up and then I went to F22 because, again, like the 85 mil is meant to blur everything out. So I really, even at an F10, this is going to really go out of focus pretty quickly. So
yes.
At F22, that's the max on that lens, or the minimum aperture. So the smallest aperture I can go to, F22, I then have an issue of getting enough light. So I have to bump the ISO. I think this is probably around an ISO 2000, something like that, in order to get a shutter speed fast enough that I'm not going to get a blurry image. So I think it's a 1/100th or 1/80th of a second to get enough light in the image. So there it is. I'm not hanging it on my wall. I wish there was more sky that, you know, looked like something. This is, again, the smoky haze of the wildfires in the morning on this particular day was pretty gray. It looks like Vancouver in November. So outside of that, I like seeing down that path, and I like all the different greens. I feel like it lacks an anchor in the image. I don't think the flag is enough of an anchor. So again, normally I would anchor this with a person maybe putting or something, but everyone was still in bed and that didn't happen.
Sure. And I think that's right. The flag sort of, I mean, it's there, you can see it, but it gets to the top, it sort of disappears.
Yeah, because of the green on green.
Also, it'd be better if it was shallower depth of field, it would probably pop.
Exactly. That's
ironically.
That's sort of the way I would usually think. Although I do like all the detail in the orchard trees, like the apple orchard trees. I really do like that. And you would lose a lot of that to kind of a different effect of just the bokeh. So
sure.
Yeah, there's something to be learned here, and it's that I'm gonna try doing this more often. I shot lots of photos in this area around the green, in the paths, the kids running up and down between the in the orchards, just because, again, I really like the depth. And I always tended to shoot those images at a, you know, an F2.8 to an F5.6 with the 85. Mm-hmm. It looks so great. And again, on the green, same thing, shallow depth of field. It's just kind of, again, how I like the look that way. And I know because I'm giving those photos to people, they like the look that way. And so I just kind of forget or don't bother to do the deep focus. And it'd just be nice after I shoot them one or two passes the way I like. I think I'm going to make a conscious effort to basically go to a shot where it is a deep focus. Now, the difference is I doing it with kids, I'd probably have to stand them very still because you're back to the issue of having enough light. So,
well, that's true. I mean, there are ways around this. So on a technical standpoint, yeah, you shot at F22. You could probably get away with an F11 if you choose your focus point properly. Now, where did you focus in this image?
I focused on the... good question. I don't even remember. I think I focused on the flag, but I might have, knowing it was an F-22, I might have gone a little further back.
I would say my instinct would be to focus on the flag.
Yeah, that was definitely my instinct, but now I'm looking at it, I'm like, did I, or did I take a test shot and then move it a little further back to make sure that those most distant trees were still in focus?
Mm-hmm. So we discussed this on an episode a long time ago about hyperfocal distance, and the basic cheat sheet version of it is, if you shoot this at, say, F-11 on the 85mm and focus on, you know, the front of the green or even the flag, you're going to see the background will go soft. I mean, fairly off in the distance. Whereas if you were to focus on sort of the midpoint of that path down the way, you'll find that pretty much everything is in focus.
Right.
So that's sort of the technical, and that way, I mean, that way you can get away with like a larger aperture, and still maintain a decent depth, but then get the corresponding shutter speed to hold it still without going nuts and having to shoot it at like 1/30th of a second where your kids are running around. But this is typical. I mean, most people who are listening to the show and shoot with a DSLR. Came from, they probably had a point and shoot, as did I, as did you. And when you shoot with a little point and shoot, this tiny little sensor camera, everything was in focus. Your depth of field was everything. And thus, when you made the move to DSLR, the first question everybody asks me is, hey, how do I make the background blurry? And it's so popular that that's kind of everybody's mindset. Is to go the complete opposite direction of deep focus, and that's mine too. I'm guilty of that, or I happen to like that. I don't think I'm guilty of it. I like it. However, like yourself, I never shoot deep focus stuff, and I would like to try more. You know, and so taking a look at my photo, this is not how I would normally shoot this kind of thing. My son on the zip line. Now this is a public one, not like a private one like yourself. this is a playground, but I knew going in when we're going to go out this day that we were going to a new playground and there be nice blue skies and big open area where I don't have to isolate my subject from the background with a long lens or shallow depth of field. I'm going to do it a different way. So I took the 5D Classic and the 17-40. Wide-angle lens, the F4L that I have, and I shot that way, which I don't normally do. But I knew I wanted to get that really deep focus. And so this is shot probably at 17 mils, which means my son is sliding directly towards me. He is not very far away from me. Like, the way that that lens works is you get in really close. So he's maybe a couple feet from me at this point. And you can see, like, you know, I mean, my wife and then one of our friends' kids in the background look very, very small.
Yeah.
And perspective-wise, if that was shot with the 70-200 at 200 mils, going to be a wildly different photo. And so, point being, how do I separate my subject? I think my subject here is it's very clear that my son is the subject. You know, where I positioned him in the frame, his colors, he's wearing the red shirt against the green and grass and the blue sky. We have the triangle formed by the zip line. I think it becomes very, very clear that that is the main subject, yet everything else is still in focus.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to shoot like this all the time. Point being, I am going to shoot like this more often, I hope. My 17-40, now you have a similar lens, like a wide-angle lens.
Yeah.
I'll bet you it gets the same kind of use that mine gets, and that's, you know, once a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's one of those lenses that it's great to have when you need it. It's like a fire extinguisher in your kitchen, you know? On that one day, it's nice to have.
Yeah.
But you're not using it every day, hopefully. Hopefully you're better at cooking than that. But when you need it, it's great. But I'm going to make a conscious effort to use it more often because I kind of like what's going on here. It just adds a different perspective to the whole image.
Agreed.
All right. That's the focus challenge. That was deep focus. Next week's challenge.
Okay.
Open shade.
Okay.
In these days, man, when you get those that hot noon sun, and that's kind of you find yourself you're out, you know, out and about during that time of day, it's not your friend. So you got to go ahead and look for open shade, and that's what we're going to do for next week.
Gotcha.
Monthly challenge, just a quick reminder, is the Great Outdoors. Hashtag it, Two Holsters Monthly Challenge, and we'll take a look. And websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.